Have you ever been wronged? You know, I'm talking about the sort of wrong that makes you just yearn for justice. You know, some things, they can't sit right with you. You know what I'm talking about? And I know that you know what I'm talking about, because in 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. And so tonight, I want to reassure you that even in the face of persecution, even in the face of suffering, in the face of evil, we can rejoice because God has triumphed over evil. And we're going to see how so in the book of Esther. The book of Esther is about a woman, a Jewish woman, who becomes married to the king of Persia. Now Esther, she has an uncle, and his name is Mordecai. Now, Mordecai, he's a servant of the king. And one day, you know, he's just minding his business, and he overhears a plot to assassinate the king. And that's an evil. And then over and over throughout the story of Esther, it's just reoccurring over and over again, all the way down the line, we're going to see people committing evil. We're going to see how that ties into God's plan. And so what does Mordecai do? He hears this plot of assassination to the king. So he tells Esther. And Esther, being the queen, she tells her husband, the king. And it gets overthrown. The plot is put away with. The two men are hanged. And evil is thwarted. And the first point that I want to make tonight about evil is that God sometimes permits evil. But we can rejoice in the face of evil because we know that God will put an end to evil, and that God, he permits this evil so that it might bring about a greater good. You know, you think about Jesus, and he was on the cross. Was that a good work? Was that a good deed that the Pharisees did? They nailed Jesus to the cross? Should we try to aspire to be like them? No, it was a terrible thing. But you know, you read in Isaiah that it was all along part of God's plan that Jesus would be crucified, but that doesn't make it a good thing. And so sometimes God can take a bad thing, but use it in his plan to bring about a good thing. Genesis 50:20 says, Joseph is speaking, he says, "You have meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good." And so after that, we see a new character. His name is Haman. And Haman, we're going to see, he's not a great guy. He's actually a really bad guy. Okay, we go to Esther 3:8. So before this, Mordecai, he does not bow down to Haman. Haman had been promoted. He had been elevated above Mordecai. Yes. But Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman out of respect. He didn't want to do that. So in Esther 3:8, it says, "Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, 'There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people, and they do not keep the king's laws, so that it is not to the king's profit to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have charge of the king's business, that they might put it into the king's treasuries.'" And so we see here that Haman, he bribes the king because he wants to get revenge on not only Mordecai, but the entire race of the Jews. And so the second point that I want to point out about evil tonight is about providence. You see, Mordecai, in chapter 4, verse 13, he says this. "Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not think it to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" And so Mordecai here, he's elaborating on God's providence. You see, he knows that God will act. Right? He doesn't know how. He says, maybe Esther will save us. Maybe somebody else will save us. He doesn't know how, but he has faith that God will act. And so God is, and Mordecai is, he's faithful in God's providence. He knows that we can rejoice in the face of evil because we know that God is in control. God doesn't have a blind spot, does he? It's not like any of our troubles can slip under God's radar, right? God is always in control. And so the next point that I want to make is about peace. So first was permission, second providence, and the third is peace. We go to chapter 5, verse 11. Haman is, he's overjoyed because Esther has, she's followed Mordecai's advice. She's gone to the king, and she says, hey, can I have a banquet? I need to talk things over with you, and I want to invite Haman. And it's going to be a meal between me, the king, and Haman. And so in chapter 5, verse 11, Haman, he goes home rejoicing because he says, recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him. He's talking to his friends. And how he had advanced him above all the officials and the servants of the king. And then Haman said, even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow I am invited by her together with the king. And so sometimes it might look like the wicked are prospering. But then you go down to the next verse. He says, yet all of this is worth nothing to me, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. See, the point that I'm making is about peace. The evil, they don't have peace, right? So they cannot enjoy the riches that their evil will bring them. You go to Ecclesiastes 5:11. It talks about how the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Now, what Solomon is writing here, he's saying that the laboring man, he's content, and he can rest. He has peace, and that's what brings him joy. But the riches, the abundance of the rich, does not bring them peace. It brings them more want. He says, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. You go to Isaiah 48:22. It reads, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. But we as Christians, we can rejoice. We can rejoice for the peace because we have the peace that passes all understanding. So even in the face of evil, we can rejoice. And so that night, the king, he couldn't sleep. And just by pure coincidence, right, he hears the deed of Mordecai. His servants are in the palace. They're reading to him the deeds that people have done. And he hears the deed of Mordecai, where he stopped the assassination plot of the king, and the two men were hanged. He hears of that. And he says, hey, have we rewarded Mordecai for this? And the servants of the king, they say, no, we haven't. And so he calls in Haman, and he tells Haman, hey, somebody has pleased me. Somebody has earned my favor. How should I reward this man? Now, he doesn't tell Haman it's Mordecai. And so Haman, he's thinking in his brain, okay, who has pleased the king? Well, I just got promoted, right? It's me. I am pleased the king. So let me think. Oh, what do I want? I want the royal crest, the royal robe, the royal horses. You know, he's a very wicked man, right? And he says he wants his name to be proclaimed among all the peoples of the nation in the city square. But then the king, he flips the tables on him and he says, yes, so now do all of this for Mordecai. Because our God is a God of justice. That's the next point I want to make, is punishment. Our God will give punishment to the wicked. We can rejoice because we know justice will be served. And so Haman, he has to take Mordecai, he takes him to the city square, he gives him the royal crest, the royal robe, the royal horses, and Haman personally has to go out to the city square and proclaim to all the peoples that Mordecai is the man whom the king has favor with. That just tells you about how God uses his justice. You go to Isaiah 30, 18. It says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." And so what we read here is that all we have to do is wait for the Lord. You know, even if we don't see how evil will be dealt with in the end, even if we don't see it, all we have to do is wait, because we know that it will. We can have faith that it will be dealt with in the end. And so Haman, he goes to the banquet that Esther had proposed, the banquet between Haman, Esther, and the king. And Esther, she reveals that she's a Jew. And this whole time, there's been a decree against the Jews set up by Haman. Haman has put out a decree against the queen. Now, that's not a very good look, right? And so what ends up happening is that the king decides that Haman ought to be executed. And so the fifth and last point that I want to make tonight about evil is patience. God was patient with the king. And we can rejoice in the face of evil, knowing that evil will not prevail. If God was not patient with Paul, would we have the New Testament? The same New Testament that we have now? We could, maybe. But it wouldn't have Paul in it. Would Christianity be as big as it is today if we didn't have Paul going out and preaching the gospel? Right? We see that God, his patience brings about good. And so I want to read to you 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18 reads, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." We can rejoice because we know that evil will not prevail. And so Esther, after Haman has died, he's been executed, Esther, she has the decree of death for the Jews that had been put out overwritten. And she has the king put out a new decree. This new decree is the decree of life. Does that sound familiar? Do we know of an old decree of death and a new decree of life in our New Testament? We do, right? Jesus, he puts away the old covenant and he brings in the new, the better covenant, the new covenant of life. That's what we have today. You know, we can recognize that the Jews, look at the grace and mercy that God had on the Jews. We have the exact same thing. We have our deliverer. Our deliverer is Jesus. He brings about our new decree of life. You know, Esther was a temporary deliverer. The Jews, they got into all sorts of conflicts after that. Their peace did not stay with them. But our peace is eternal. Jesus gives us an eternal peace, an eternal hope, an eternal reward. And tonight, you can accept Jesus' salvation when you believe, John 3:16. When you repent, Luke 13:3. When you confess, Romans 10:10. When you're baptized for the remission of sins, in Acts 2:38. And when you're faithful to death, according to Revelation 2:17. And if you want to accept Jesus' salvation today, come up to the front as we stand and sing.